Good evening. Let's give the Lord a hand tonight. Amen. Let's see your Bibles tonight. Let's see your Bibles. Word. Let's see your pens and your lesson plan. Ooh, turn to Numbers chapter 1. Numbers chapter 1. How many of y'all were here last week? Say amen. Good. So you should remember all the quiz things we talked about. Yes. I'm so glad we did that because we got a good foundation for what we're going to talk about tonight. When I was a kid, we had 7 people in our family. We still do. 2 brothers, 2 sisters, 2 parents, and myself. And we would go, we had a Volkswagen bus first, then we had a station wagon. We went on a lot of trips. Our grandparents ended up buying land upstate where we used to always go, so we went there all the time, drove around on long trips, and usually when we were little, matter of fact, there were 9 of us in a Volkswagen bus with no seatbelt growing up, driving to Canada for, you know, for, I don't know, it was like 10 days driving around. Grandmother, uncle, all of us kids, you think about how dangerous that is today, but that's how it was back then, and we used to always count to make sure everybody was in the van before we would leave, to make sure we weren't going to forget anybody. And actually, when we were in Toronto, Canada, at Expo 67, I was 7 years old, we left my little brother laying on the floor asleep. And we actually took a picture of him. We got a picture. We walked, and it was so crowded, but luckily he was still there. But so we still have him. But every time we left, we would count. Everybody here, everyone counted for it. What we're going to talk about today is exactly that. We're in the book of Numbers. And if you remember, Genesis, the first book, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers is the 4th book of the Bible. Now, if you remember in Genesis, everything was created because Genesis is the book of beginnings. Very good. And then at the very end of the Genesis, the Jews go to Egypt. They turn from 70 people to 2 million plus. And in Exodus, his exit from Egypt. Moses leads them out of Egypt. They walk to Mount Sinai. We get the book of Leviticus, the 3rd book of the Bible is at Mount Sinai. And now we're at Mount Sinai, and they're getting ready to leave again, to continue to wander through the wilderness. And we're at the very beginning of that second stage of their wandering, and this is the book of Numbers. And the book of Numbers is about 2 things, if you remember. It's about what?
Counting.
Numbering or counting or census. Numbering, numbers, numbering. Everyone say numbering.
Numbering.
Say numbering.
Numbering.
And wandering.
Wandering.
Say wandering.
Wandering.
Again, they walk 40 years total, but in the book of Numbers, about 38 and a half of those years is in the book of Numbers. And so we're going to continue this walk. But before they do it, they're going to have a numbering. They're going to number the people. How many times they number the people?
Twice.
Say it again.
Twice.
Say it with confidence.
Twice.
They number the people twice. This is the first time. Before they leave, they're going to count. And they're going to make sure everybody's there. But more importantly, they're going to make a record of who they have, and they're going to assign people to a function. Now, you as a Christian, or you as a person now, you are on a journey. We are on a road trip our whole life. And we can allow God to lead us, or we can lead ourselves. God has a plan for our life. And so he wants to, one, challenge you to be counted. Here I am, God. I'm on a trip, and I want to do what you want me to do. What we're going to see today is God's going to count the people, the first census. He's going to count the people. Matter of fact, let's see if you how much you remember. The first census was taken at Mount what? Say it again. And the second census was taken in the plains of what? This is Moab. Okay, Moab. The plains of what?
Moab.
Okay, that's at the end of the book. Okay? So here's the first census. And this first census, when he takes it, we're going to see 3 groups of people counted. And the challenge for us is to decide what group we belong in. Now, you don't necessarily have to belong in these particular groups, per se, but we're going to relabel them. One's going to be leadership, one's going to be ministers, and one's going to be the army. But in your life, in my life, we have to first say, do you recognize and acknowledge that you are on a journey with the Lord? And do you acknowledge that God has a purpose for you? And are you willing to to stand up and be counted? And say, God, here I am, use me. I'm not just going to hide, come to church, hide, not do anything for the kingdom, just go to work and just put my time in and die. No, God, here I am. I'm your child. What do you want me to do? Here are my gifts. Here's my calling. Here are my opportunities. What do you want me to do? Because I'm on this trip together. So you don't want to go and go through your life on your road trip without being counted. Now, what we're going to see today, to me, I think, is one of the most fascinating things in the Bible. One of the things that confirm the Bible's God's word more than anything else. I'm not going to tell you what it is. It's probably, you can obviously look at it on your sheet, but we'll get to it in a minute. Because if you ever had any doubt that God was organized and strategic, today we'll erase those doubts. Okay, let's look at the first one. Number one, it says one of the groups was he had two leaders that would organize the road trip. Two leaders were to organize the road trip. How many leaders? Now I love numbers, so you're gonna get numbered to death today. But I'm gonna try not to fry your brain. There were two leaders organized to worship. What we're gonna see in these first four chapters is that God is going to designate Moses and his brother. What was his brother's name?
Aaron.
His brother Aaron as the leaders. Now we all know Moses is the man, but God sent his brother back in Genesis to be there with him. And we're going to see these two guys that were organized to be the leaders. Look what it says in verse 1, chapter 17. Numbers 1, 17. It says, then Moses and Aaron took these men who had been mentioned by name. Look at chapter 2, verse 1. Read these real quick. The Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, blah, 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 blah. Look at chapter 3, verse 1. These are the records of Aaron and Moses when the Lord spoke with Moses in Mount Sinai. Look at chapter 4, verse 1. The Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, okay, so you'll notice that when you read the Bible, it may get redundant to you, but you have to understand when God repeats something over and over again, the reason he repeats it, he wants you to get it. You know what I asked you? Genesis the book of. Every time you say it louder and louder because more people get it, and you get more confident. God does the same thing in the Bible. Matter of fact, God's not doing the same thing. I'm doing the same thing he does. He'll repeat it over and over and over again. And if you read these four chapters, matter of fact, hopefully you do today or tomorrow, just read these chapters and it'll be real boring to you. Same thing over and all these numbers and all that. But you know what? After today, hopefully these things are going to pop out. And you're going to go, I see, it makes complete sense. Okay? So there's two leaders. The question is, are you a leader? Some of you are leaders and some of you are not. That's not a bad thing or a good thing. It's just a fact. Some people, God has given the gift of leadership. How do you know you're a leader? If people are following you. You may think you're a leader and no one's following. That means you're just going for a walk. You're not really a leader. You're just kind of enjoying the sunshine and, you know, hey, look at me. I'm the leader coming, and no one's following you. It happens. And God will anoint people to be leaders. Some of y'all are leaders, but you're not leading. You're following. In other words, you're sitting in a small group listening and you're like frustrated because not because of the incompetency of the facilitator. No. Because you need to be leading. Maybe not that group, another group. Maybe you're a woman and you say, look, I want to lead. You know what? Matter of fact, the women's retreat is coming up. And the women's ministry is in need of leadership and people to sign up for the women's retreat. They actually have the table outside. But some of y'all are leaders at your jobs, you're leaders in your family, you just are born leader, and God is stirring in your heart, you're frustrated, and you think it's the people around you, you think it's your job, you think it's the church, if you think it's your family, it's probably none of that, it's just that you're in the wrong position. You need to be out front instead of in behind. And so I would challenge you to say, God, what do you want me to lead? What do you want me to do? When I first got saved and started going to church, I sat in church the first day. Well, actually, not the first day. I remember the first day I went to a Christian church after I got saved. My wife and I went. I was a new Christian. And it was just so amazing to see people sing and have regular clothes on instead of not all be, it was a Sunday night service. But I remember after I got into the church, very soon I would sit in church and go, oh, no, I got to do something. I just couldn't do nothing and sit and listen. And I was asking everybody on staff, what do you do? What do you do? And I would go during the day and go to everybody's office and just sit in there and say, what do you do? Now I look back at how irritating I must have been. Because, like, we got stuff to do, brother. What do you want? And I just want to know what you do because I'm trying to figure out what I'm supposed to do because I got to do something. Some of you may have that itch right now that you're not doing and you feel like I'm not getting enough out of church. It may be you're not giving enough. And maybe you're not doing enough. Because let me tell you something. You cannot, and now this is for everybody, all of us. You cannot learn the Bible without doing the Bible. You can learn Bible information, but you can't learn about God by doing nothing. And if you are a leader, you are not going to be able to learn what God has for you if you are not leading. Matter of fact, this book, Numbers, is one of the best books on leadership in the Bible because Moses is one of the best leaders in the Bible. And in this book, he pulls out all the stops on leadership, 101, 201, 901. He gets hit with every challenge. And I'm going to try to point out some of those things as we go through because they're very important, especially if you are in any management position in your job or wherever. But the first question, the first challenge is if you are a leader, I want to challenge you to start leading. Join some ministry and say, God, what do you want me to lead? Number two in the notes. 22,000 Levites to serve in the tabernacle were counted. 22,000 Levites. Everyone say 22,000. Now, if you remember last week, I gave you a bunch of numbers. Remember the number two? Number two, they were too blank to organize. I just gave it to you. Wow. Say leaders. And they were? Very good. And there were two guys that walked out of Egypt into the promised land. Who were they? Say it again. Very good. And I said the number 11. There were 11 days how many days did it take them to get from Mount Sinai to the promised land? How many sons of Jacob were there? How many spies went into the promised land? 12. Remember those numbers? Well, there was one number I didn't give you because I didn't want to. It was kind of confusing. It was 273. Say 273. What we're going to see right now, we're not going to go through all of them, but there were 22,000 Levites. And if you remember when the Jews were in Egypt, God went around and killed the firstborn of every Egyptian. And so what God said is, instead of me killing the firstborn of all you Jews, I'm going to claim the firstborn of all your children as mine. Okay, I'm not going to kill them, but they're mine. And so what God did, he says, in exchange for your firstborn, I am going to take the whole tribe of Levi, and they're going to be my servants. And I'm going to claim them to be my servants instead of your firstborn. Okay, this is why I didn't want to explain it. It's kind of confusing. There happened to be 22,273 firstborn. 273 too many. In other words, you got 273 more than there are Levites. So they had to pay a certain amount of money. So that was a number I just want to throw out there. Forget about it because it's too complicated to remember why, but I had to give it to you because it is an important number. But what we're going to look at, they were 22,000 Levites. Everyone say Levites? All the Levites were the descendants of Levi. The descendants of who?
Levi.
Now, you have the tabernacle. You have Mount Sinai. They're getting ready to walk. Over 2 million people getting ready to walk. And what God's going to do is he's going to tell them how to organize themselves around the tabernacle. And what he's going to tell you is that one tribe of Levi, he's going to take, they have three families. He's going to tell them where to camp around the tabernacle. We're going to read it real quick, and then we're going to show it to you on a screen. Okay? Number one, look at chapter 3, verse 23. Everyone say Levi.
Levi.
Say Levi. Say Gershon. This was the first family. It says, the families of the Gershonites, okay, if you, whatever your last name is, you are an ite after that. Okay, if your last name is Smith, you are a Smithite, okay, McPhersonite, a Hightowerite, whatever your last name is, you are an ite. Not an Ike and Tina Turner, but an ite. The families of the Gershonites were to camp behind the tabernacle on the west side. Okay, these were on the west side. Everyone say west.
Yes.
We're going to come back to these and explain them later. Look at verse 29. It says, according to the number of males from a month old, there were 8,000. Look at verse 29. Verse 29. The family of the children of the Kohath were to camp on the south side of the tabernacle. Say south side. So you had the Gershonites on the west side, the Kohath on the south side. And then look at verse 35. Verse 35. The leaders of the fathers of the house of the families of Merahites, they were to camp on the north side. Say north side.
North side.
Say north side.
North side.
Say north side. And then it says verse 38. I like that. Verse 38. It says, moreover, these were to camp before the tabernacle on the east side. Say, east side. Before the tabernacle, meeting was Moses and Aaron and his sons, keeping charge of the tabernacle to meet the needs of the children of Israel. What God told him, he says, okay, all you Gershonites, you're going to be on the west side. All you Kohathites, you're going to be on the south side. All you Morahites, you're going to be on the north side. And Moses, you're going to be on the east side. Why is that important to know? So they knew where to camp. Because God is organized. We're going to see how organized he is in a minute. So we're going to show that to you in a minute. You have the tabernacle. That's the tabernacle with the court around it. You got one group on the west, the south, the north, and Moses and the sons on the east. Everyone say east. Remember that, on the east. Moses and the priests were on the east. They were right in front of the door of the tabernacle because they were the only ones that can go in the tabernacle. So God told them, here's how I want you to organize yourself. Now, if you keep reading, what you're not going to do now, it'll tell you how many of each of those there were. Because they counted them, because this was a census. And what would be boring to you if you say, this guy had these many sons, these guys had these many sons, these guys had these many sons, and you count them up and it goes, oh, I don't want to hear all that. But that's in the Bible, okay? We're not going to do that for this one. But for the next one, we're going to do that. Look at the next point. Point number three. 603,550 soldiers to fight in the army. Now, first we had two leaders. So are you a leader? You need to lead. Then there were 22,000 Levites who were to serve. Has God called you to serve him? He's called all of us to serve him. What ministry should you be in? You need to ask yourself that. How are you serving God? Now, you may have a job. You may be a parent. You may be a coach. How are you serving God? You can do all those things without serving God. Because you can do it your way. As a Levite, we are to do it God's way. So the question is, as you're marching on your road trip, how are you serving God? How are you drawing near to God? How are you learning about God? How consistently are you obedient to God? Or is it about you? So if you're camped right around the tabernacle, that's your job. And each one of those guys, they had different jobs. The priests would break down, take all the holy things and wrap them up. Then the Kohathites would carry the holy things. The Gershonite family, they would carry the tabernacle itself after it was broken down. And the Merarites, their job was to carry all the boards and sockets that the tabernacle laid on. So not only did they know where they were to camp, they knew exactly what their job was. God had it all organized in those first four chapters. I'm not going to read it all, but that's what's in there. You guys camp over here, and you guys do this job. You guys camp over here, and you guys do this job. You guys camp over here, and you guys do this job. That's what's in those chapters. But the third one, the soldiers, was very interesting. 603,000. Everyone say 603,000. 550. You can get there in two ways. You could add it all up in first chapter one, or you could just look at the very end. It tells you 603,000 without adding it up. But here's what we're going to do. I'm going to tell you where these people camped. Then I'm going to have you fill in the chart you have in your thing. But first, let me show it to you and read it in the Bible so it doesn't get confusing. We're going to look at four groups. Everyone say four. Remember, 12 divided by 3 is 4. So what we're going to see is that God's going to organize a group of 3 tribes. To the east, 3 tribes to the south, 3 tribes to the west, 3 tribes to the north. They're going to count how many people, men over 20 years old in the army, in each group, individual tribe, and then as a total. So what we're going to do is we're just going to read which group is going to be on the east. This is the east, the west, the north, and the south. And then we're going to draw a picture of what that looks like. And I think you're going to be very fascinated. Before we do this, I want to tell you that the Old Testament is the foundation of the New Testament because it does what to Jesus? Points. Everyone say points. The Old Testament is the foundation of the New Testament because it points to Jesus. If God is the Word of God, if Jesus Christ is the Word of God, you will see him all throughout the Bible on every page. And he is on every page somehow. Talks about him somehow. And sometimes the pictures of Christ are so vivid, it slaps you in the face. This is going to be one of them. So remember, the Old Testament is the foundation of the New Testament because it points to Jesus Christ. And he is in it. Now, the reason this is so critical for us to understand is because if you can find Jesus Christ in the Old Testament over and over and over and over again, you have to scratch your head and say, how is that possible? How did these guys who lived thousands of years before Christ write about him so much and so vividly? Unless God wrote the Bible through them. So what we're going to see today, now, when you see stuff like that, the reason, what you should get out of that is that God, one, is organized. Number two, God is eternal. He's eternal. He has everything planned out. And that God, and if he's organized and eternal and he did write this book is to be trusted. And God knows you. A friend of mine, my brother-in-law's sister's husband, my sister's brother-in-law, was struggling with the Lord. He was going, you know, just kind of trying to find his way, and he was struggling with something. And he was walking. They were going on a walk, and he tripped on a root of a tree and hit his head on the tree and looked up, and there was a verse on the tree that spoke right to what he was talking about. Clink! Can you believe that? God is organized. And probably every single one of you has some experience like that. This is one of those things where God says, I already got this planned out. You don't even see it. So let's read this real carefully. I'm going to try not to confuse you. Everyone say Judah. Judah. Okay, turn to chapter 2, verse 3. Chapter 2, verse 3. And what I'm going to show you is Judah. I'm going to show you a tribe, where they were supposed to be situated. And then I'm not going to read to you the other two tribes that were with them, and I'm not going to read to you all the numbers of the people, but I'm going to read to you the total people that were on this side with that tribe. And then we'll show you what it looked like. It says on chapter 2, verse 3, say, on the east side, toward the rising of the sun. You don't have to read it all, but I'm sorry. I appreciated the obedience, though. Those of the standard of the forces of Judah. Say standard. The standard is a banner with a picture on it. Keep following me. You're going to get a tribe, a picture, and a number. Everyone say tribe. Picture. Number. And then a direction, east, north, south, or west. Okay? Okay, look what it says. On the east side, the rising of the sun, those are the standard of the forces of Judah and their armies. And Nishan, the son of Nebedeb, shall be a leader of the children of Judah. Look what it says in verse 9. All who were numbered according to their armies of the forces with Judah were 186,400. These shall break camp first. Okay, so here's what we got. We're going to show this on the screen. To the east, you got Judah and two other tribes, but the total is 186,400. And there's a picture. We'll show it to you in a minute. Look what it says in verse 10. On the south side, say south side, shall be the standard or picture with the forces of Reuben, according to their armies, and the leader of the children of Reuben shall be Eliezer. Look at verse 16. Verse 16, all who were numbered according to the armies of the forces of Reuben were 151,450. Got that? Okay, so on the south side, you have Reuben, 151,400. Look at verse 18. On the west side, say west side. The west side shall be the standard of the armies according to Ephraim, according to their armies, and the leader of the children of Ephraim shall be Elishama. So we got on the west side Ephraim and his standard or picture. And if you look at verse 24, it says all who were numbered according to the armies of the forces of Ephraim were 108,100, and they shall camp be third to break camp. Verse 25, therefore the standard of the armies of Dan shall be on the north side, say north side, and their armies, and the leader of Dan is, wow, look at that brother's name. Okay, so let me read this to you. If y'all go look up here, we got on the east, Judah, okay, on the south, Reuben, on the west Ephraim and on the north Dan. Now, what we did for you is we drew on your notes, and we're going to put up on the screen, what it would have looked like if you took these numbers of people in the proportion compared to the very first one, 186,000, what it would look like from the sky. So let's put that up on the screen. If you look on the screen, on the east side is on the right. You have 186,000. Okay, so that's how we're gonna build the other camps in proportion to that, based on the number. Next one, on the south, you have 157,000, I believe it is, 151,000. So that's like 75%. That's how we marked it out. On the north is 108,000. It's a lot smaller. And then on the west, on the north, we have 157,000, similar to what's on the bottom. That's how the people were camped. Now, I want to tell you something. These are Jewish people, 1,000 years before Christ. What God says is, I want you to camp three tribes on the right, 186,000, three tribes on the bottom, 151,000, three tribes on the left, 188,000, three tribes on the top, on the north, 157,000. Now, if you took on the right, just the percentages, it would look similar to that in any way you want to rough it out. Now, here's what gets interesting. The standard is a picture. It's a banner. It's like a flag. The standard of Judah is a lion. Okay? The standard of, what is it, Ephraim? Ephraim, a Reuben on the bottom, is a man. The standard of Ephraim on the west is an ox. And the standard of Dan is an eagle. Now, what you have to understand, this is so wild to me. The four Gospels have symbols to them. Matthew is the line of Judah on the right, first Gospel. The bottom, Luke, is a son of man. The symbol is a man. Mark is an ox. Jesus is a suffering servant, a beast of burden. And John, the symbol, is an eagle. What God says, I'm going to put you guys out there. You're going to march, and you are going to be led by the banners that just happen to be the same symbols of the four Gospels that will come thousands of years later. Now, here's what gets even more freaky. In Ezekiel chapter 1, verse 10, if it's not in your notes, you could write that down. Ezekiel has a vision of this angelic being, and it has four faces. Ezekiel chapter 1, verse 10. The four faces are an eagle, a man, an ox, and a lion. Same as all four. Now, let me take it one step further. You could throw this one out because I know some of you might not believe the zodiac is actually the gospel in disguise, but there's a zodiac in the sky. Every month, there's a different zodiac. Now, you and I think it's our birth order and our horoscope. But really, the 12 stages of the gospel are what the zodiacs are from. The zodiac names come from Hebrew names that God gave the stars. We didn't make that up. And they're grouped in fours. And guess what the symbols are? The lion, the eagle, the man, and the ox. What God is saying is that I organized this long before y'all were born. Long before Mary and Joseph. Since the foundation of the earth, my plan of redemption was already set. And what I'm going to do is organize y'all out. And y'all are going to walk for 40 years. And there you have not only the cross, but the four Gospels walking for 40 years. Now, what's interesting about it is that when you put the cross up there, the Judah was supposed to go first. The line of Judah is a name for Jesus Christ. Revelation 5:5, Jesus Christ is the line of Judah, is how he is referred to. And not only is the line of Judah going first, Matthew's the first Gospel. Right behind them is Moses and the priest, or where they camp, right behind them, right in front of the entrance of the tabernacle, and that's how you get in. God has this all organized. And when you read these numbers, you can get so bored with all these numbers. And by the way, go home and do the math yourself. Don't take my word for it. Go add it all up and get a calculator out and say, what percentage is 151,000 of 186,000? And just draw it how big it is. And just draw it for yourself. And you could draw it in wiggly lines. Doesn't matter. Those groups were around the tabernacle, and they did that for 38 and a half years. They walked like that and camped like that. God has every single one of you walking in formation. You don't even know it. And he's right in your midst. And some of you can be so lost in all the circumstances of your life that God says, if you would just step back a little bit, you would see my handprint on your very life. The people around you, the circumstances around you, your house. Have you ever seen your house from an aerial satellite picture? You go on the internet and get a picture of your house from a satellite today. Go do that. I mean, you may not see anything. You know, it's not. I'm not saying your house is going to be in a cross or, whatever. But it will show you your world that you live in every day from several miles up into the sky. It will show you the houses around you, the park, and it will show you how small your kingdom is. And it will show you how many just like you are all around you. And it will show you your life from a whole different perspective. You're like, that's my house? That's my yard? My car is going away and I'm not in it. God says, you know what? He for 40 years, 38 and a half years, he was like this looking over them. And they were complaining, whining, trying to kill Moses. And he was like, man, you guys have no idea what you look like. The cross. And then Jesus comes 1,000 years later and he dies. And his disciples write 4 books. And it just goes back to how they walked around the wilderness. Every single one of you right now, you're in that cross somewhere. But do you know it? Those people didn't know it. They had no idea. They had no idea Christ was going to die. The crucifixion wasn't even invented. There was no cross. But God, it's all now. Everything's in the now. My challenge to you is, where do you belong? Where does God want you on this road trip you're on? Because every single one of you on the trip, one day you're going to die and the trip's going to be over. Right now, God said there is a place for you. There is an assignment for you. There's something for you to do. Do you know what it is? Don't get lost in the masses. Don't get lost in all the busyness. Step back and ask God to show you your life from his perspective. And then ask God to sign you up for your assignment that you can be productive and not. Remember, everybody over 20 years old, all those 603,000 soldiers, they all died before they got to the promised land. And by the way, you might ask where they get 2.5 million people or 2 million. It's a guess, but what they take is every soldier. The 603,000 were only men over 20 years old. Didn't count their wives, didn't count their children. It was only men over 20 years old of age. It was 603,000 plus the Levites. And so it wasn't counting their families. That's how they get to that many people. But don't get lost in that. Say, Lord, I want to know where you want me to camp. I want to know what my assignment is. And I want to know when we leave, who do I follow? Because they all had to break camp at a certain time. I don't want to get lost. They all knew that, but they miss God in it. And you can get so caught up in doing things that you miss him. So let's all bow for a word of prayer. Dear Lord, we thank you so much for your faithfulness and your goodness to us. And we thank you so much that as confusing as our life may be to us, it is so organized to you. And as lost as we may get in the busyness and the details, we must realize and remember that you have a place for us, a job for us, an assignment for us. And I pray that we as believers would seek out our assignment in your kingdom. That if we're leaders, we should lead. If we're soldiers, we got to fight. You put a ministry on our heart, we need to minister. But I pray we wouldn't just be in a crowd walking in obscurity, because even those people were in the cross. Everybody was in the cross. And I pray that you would stir our hearts to go home and read this, that you would stir our hearts that we may know these things to be true. I pray you would stir our hearts that we would look at this and find how interesting your word is and how detailed your word is. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me